We begin the current daf, Masechta Zivamas, daf Gimel. We begin 5 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. And that is, we opened up the Masechta on the previous daf, where we spoke about the 15 women in the Mishnah that are Patris Tarasein, Vistaras Tarasein, Atsef Oilam. These 15 women are Arayas, forbidden relations to the Yavim, to the one who wants to go ahead and marry his brother who just passed away and is without any children. He can't do it because she's forbidden to him, and then her co-wife is forbidden, and her co-wife, and so on, as we had explained in the previous stuff. Now, the Gemara opened up the discussion by wondering, why did we make this order of the 15 women in such a way? So the Gemara first entertained that possibly it is because we're going according to the opinion of Rib Shimon, that we're going in stringencies of the 4 types of deaths that there are that Beis Din gives. And the most stringent according to Rabbi Shimon is Sreifa. So Bitoy and that whole category, up to Chamoisa, they're all those that have Sreifa. Therefore, we go with the most stringent first, and then we come to the others that are less stringent, different types. Let's say Skilo, according to Rabbi Shimon, is lower down, and then Karis, which is not even one of Mises Basin, it's Mises de Shemayim, by the hands of heaven, and that's the order that we took. But the Gemara had 2 problems with that. If that's the case, then we should have said Chamoisa first, because Chamoisa is the source, and we always want to go to the source of something to say that first. It's the source of the Misa of Sreifa. Second of all, even if we're going in this most stringent down to the most lenient, after that category of those that are Sreifa, we should have gone to Kalosai, because then there are others that are not as stringent as Kalosai that are mentioned beforehand, and Kalosai is mentioned at the end, but if we're going in the most stringent to the most lenient, we should have gone in that order. So the Gemara says, you're right, it's not because of stringencies. Rather, the way we took the order was because Bitai, we make that number one of the 15 Arayas, because it's a chiddush, it's a novelty, it's something that we wouldn't know from the Torah itself. We learned it out, as the Gemara had said, on top of this Amud from Gezeirah Shava. We would not have known that someone is forbidden to his daughter. And therefore, since that's a chiddush, it's not something that was written explicitly in the Torah, that's why we say it first. So the Gemara said, but what do you mean? All the other Arayas are also not written explicitly in the Torah that they're going to be forbidden in Yibum. And the Gemara says, yes, you're right. Regarding the context of Yibum, as the Gemara will illustrate on this daf, we only know by Achis Isha. That's where it says explicitly by if his brother married his wife's sister, Achis Ishtai, his wife's sister is forbidden to him as an erva. That we know is going to be explicitly in the Torah forbidden for Yibum, and the other ones are learned out also from Achidush, in that sense that it's not written explicitly in the Torah. But their Isra themselves, the erva of all the other Arayas, are written in the Torah, that is one's mother-in-law, and all these other cases that were mentioned, it says in the Torah that they're forbidden. Therefore, they're not as much as a chiddush as Bita, where the erva itself, the fact that she's a forbidden relation, that itself is not written in the Torah regarding Bita. That's why we say that first, and that starts the order. So that's where our Gemara continues on this daf and says, fine. But hashta da amrit kol milsa da asya midrasha chavivale. Now that you said this concept, this halacha concept, that anything that's learned out from midrash, it's exposition. It's not written explicitly in the Torah. And therefore, that makes it dear, and therefore it's something we want to mention first, and that's why we went and mentioned the first of the 15 arayas, that of one's daughter. But then, listen, if that's the case, then Achais Isha, which is what the Gemara had opened up on the previous daf by saying, let's say Achais Isha first, the Gemara had asked. Let that be the first, not from later on, because that is the source, as the Gemara will show on this daf, that one of the arayas of all these 15 ones are forbidden to be taken Yibim Chalitza. Now, if you're saying that it's almost exactly the opposite as we had assumed in the question, that we would rather go to the source first, which is, how do we know these 15 Arayas are forbidden in Yibim and Chalitza? The Torah says you can marry your brother's wife if he dies without any children. No, but the Gemara is going to show in today's daf that if she's an Erva, she's forbidden in Yibim and Chalitza. Now, how do we know that? The source of that is going to be Achais Isha, meaning though, if his wife's sister was is the widow now of his brother, that there we're going to learn that she's going to be forbidden, and therefore we say that the same thing would apply to all different arayas. Now, if that's the case, that's the most explicit, and therefore it's the converse of what we were trying to say, that which is a chiddush comes beforehand, and therefore in the context of Yibum, all the other arayas are chiddush. They're not written explicitly in the Torah that they're forbidden Yibim Chalitza. So why shouldn't it be that a chisisha should not be? You're right, it's not the first, because Bitoy is the most chiddush, because even the Erva itself is not written. But at least in the context of Yibum, all the other Arayas are not written in the Torah. They should come before Achais Isha. Why is it somewhere in the middle and not all the way at the end? So the Gemara explains as follows. Aydi de'ayre be'isra achvasa. Because if you look at the order, there's a structure to the Mishnah, as the Gemara will explain. Once we started talking about the prohibition of sisters, so therefore we mention in the category of sisters that there are other arayas related to sisters, as the Gemara will illustrate. So if we mention also a wife's sister, That's in the category of sisters, which there's forbidden relationships with different types of when it's related to sisters. So when it's your wife's sister, not only is your own sister forbidden, but your wife's sister, when your wife is still alive, is also forbidden. That's what we mentioned in there. So you're right, although everything else should come beforehand because they're bigger chiddush, but we put it in there because it was in that category. But then the Gemara asks, but still, v'lesnai l'hai bava, but mention this category, which is then take all the sisters and mention them l'besayif at the end. And therefore, we should rather have Kalasa, which is all the way at the end, one's daughter-in-law, should come before his sister, even if his own flesh and blood sister that he has from the same parents, because since you're putting Achis Isha in the same category as your own sister, you'll put your wife's sister in that same category, we want that to be at the end, because it's the least Chiddush, because it's the one that's the source of the Isra Yib Mechalitza. So you're saying, so we have it earlier because it's in that category. So then put the whole category at the end. So the Gemara says a different answer. It's not going with what the Gemara had assumed regarding we're going to most stringent types of deaths that Beis Din gives. We're not going because the concept of Midrasha, because it's Chaviv, that it's a Chiddush. We're not going with that either. The Gemara says, Ella, rather, you want to know why we had this specific order in our Mishnah, starting with Bita, going all the way through Kalosei, these 15 Arayis, is Tana Korvi Korvi Naka. You want to know the Tana's structure? He's going with the closest relationships that there are and working his way outward. So those that are closest are mentioned first, and those that are not as close are mentioned all the way at the end, as the Gemara explains. Tana, Bitai, first he mentions one's daughter, Ubas Bitai, his daughter's daughter, Ubas Benoi, and his son's daughter, the Krevei Atzmai. They are from his own seed. They're the closest you can get to a person, which is a manifestation of himself, and therefore there's no other arayos that are closer than those. So those come first. Now, the I did the Tana Shleisha Doris Lamata Didei. Now, that was the first category. Now, once we mentioned three generations coming below him in the sense of himself, his daughter, and then his son's daughter or his daughter's daughter, then Tana Nami Shleisha Doris Lamata Didas. And then we also mentioned three generations below her, meaning there's his other half is his wife. So then we go that to say that although they're not his own relatives in the sense of it's not from his own seed, it could be his wife had it from another relationship, but still, since it's going three generations below him, so then we go three generations below her. And therefore we say that there's his wife's daughter and his wife's granddaughter from her son and from her daughter. Now, then we go on to the next category. Now, that once we went and segued and said, we mentioned three generations below her, so then we also mentioned three generations above her, which is her, meaning the wife, and the generation above her is her mother-in-law. And then we go, her mother-in-law's mother. That's how we go further up, and that mentions those three in that category. Now, Rashi does point out, but we couldn't go three generations above himself, like we go three generations below him, because his own mother can never be in the situation of Yibam, because she's going to be forbidden to his paternal brother, because of the halach of Eishes Aviv. Although it's not his own mother, his brother, because if one would imagine the family of Yaakov Avinu, where although they're all brothers of the same father, which as we had explained in the previous stop, that's the criteria for the halacha of Yibam, and therefore those from the Bnei Rachel, Leah is not related to them, but it's still going to be his father's wife, and therefore it's going to be forbidden for that, and therefore you can never say the category of Lamala Didei, of three generations, meaning him and his mother, and then his mother's mother, because that wouldn't apply, would never have a situation that in the halacha of Yibam, because his paternal brother cannot marry his own mother. Now the Gemara continues with the halachas. Now, betana achaysay v'achaysim, and now we move on to the next category. Now we mention his sister, and we mention his mother's sister, again in the category of sisters, the krevi atzmai, because they're still his blood relatives, more than his daughter-in-law, let's say, which is mentioned all the way at the end, because his daughter-in-law is not his blood relative, rather it's through marriage that she becomes forbidden to him, because she married his son, and therefore she's not going to be yet. So rather you move on to the closer relatives, which is his sister and his mother's sister. Now, ba'aydi de'ari be'isr achva tanachisishtai. And this, as we'd explained before, we're not having this all the way at the end because we're not going based on the criteria of Chiddush. We're going based on the closest relatives. And therefore, closer than Kalase, let's say, of one's daughter-in-law is sisters. And therefore, once we're mentioning sisters, we mention, although your wife's sister is not your own blood relative, which is the case in sisters, but once we're mentioning sisters, we mention also one's wife's sister. Now, however, the Gemara does conclude by saying, "Ubedinhu dilekadma lekalase mikmei eshes achav shlohei balame." Now, there's two final ones, which is the case of one's daughter-in-law. And there's also the halacha of when one has a brother that wasn't alive at the time that his brother, who now this widowed, there's a widow, he wasn't alive at that time. He was only born after his brother had died. Where we had said, based on the Pesukim in the Halach of Yibam, that it's not applicable to the Halach of Yibam, therefore she's going to be considered as if she has children, which is the terminology we use whenever it's forbidden in the Halach of Yibam, therefore it's forbidden because of Eishes Achiv. Now, the Gemara tells us, Delo Mishum Kuru Hu Da'asira. Truth is, none of these are based on the prohibition of relationships, and that is as follows. Rashi explains that since up until now we were using the criteria of relationships. Now, one's daughter-in-law, and also this halacha of one's wife's brother, which they weren't alive at the same time, and Rashi adds on also the case of Eishes Achiv Me'imai, which is the case before that, which is one's maternal brother, where we had explained in the previous daf that she doesn't have the heter of Yibum, because the isra of Eishes Achiv, one's brother's wife, is forbidden whether it's maternal or paternal. But the heter of Yibum only applies to paternal. So therefore, even if she ends up marrying his paternal brother, but once she was already married to his maternal brother, that prohibition will never be removed. Now, Rashi explains that all these three cases are not based on his own relationships. There's no blood relation over there. So therefore, he says, that the Gemara is wondering, you should have really said daughter-in-law before Eishes Achiv Shlei Balamai and before Eishes Achiv Me'imai. And the reason is because once there's no more criteria of relationships, because none of them are based on relationships, the prohibition of Eishes Achiv Shlei Balamai is just an exclusion of the halachic criteria for Yibum. And so to Eishes Achiv Me'imai, it's not because of the relationship that's making this into a specific erva. It's contextual based on the halachas of Yibum. And therefore, so that criteria doesn't apply. So we should go back to the criteria of the most stringent, Rashi explains. And the daughter-in-law has a more stringent misa than the halacha of Eishes Achiv Shlei Balamai and regarding Eishes Achiv Me'imai. So therefore, we should have gone with that category since we can't go with relationships. So on that, the Gemara says, so why is Kalasai later? El Aidi de Ayri be Isra Achiv, because once we were talking about siblings, brothers and sisters, because as we said, the previous category is talking about Achaisai, Achais Imai, his mother's sister, Satana Eishes Achiv Shlahayi by Lama. So therefore we mentioned also regarding siblings, which is his brother's wife, that he wasn't alive with him at the same time, and then Bahadatana Kalas. And therefore only at the end did we mention daughter-in-law, because that has no relationship, even in terminology, of relation to one sister, one sibling, and craven, and therefore that's mentioned all the way at the end, and therefore the Gemara has explained why we have this specific order is going with regarding the closest relationships, all the way moving outward to those that are further type of relationships. Now the Gemara goes to ask regarding the terminology that was used in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah opened up by saying that there are 15 women that are paitres, tzareseyan, betzareseyan, and chalitzim liyim. They exempt not only themselves from the halacha of yibim and chalitzim, but they also exempt their co-wives, and then if their co-wife marries the other brother, they exempt their co-wife's co-wife. Now the Gemara wonders about the terminology. My iri the tana paitres. Now, why is it that the Mishnah said that these 15 women, these arayis, these forbidden relationships to the yavam, they're going to be exempting their tzara? Now, the terminology of ptur always connotes that you're exempt, you don't have to, but you're allowed to, which would sound like if you want to do yibim, you could. But the Gemara asks, listen to asurais, it's to say oistra, it's to say that they're making forbidden. And that's because, as Rashi explains, they most definitely are forbidden. And the reason is because, as we had explained again on the previous stuff, which is going to be the halachic principles that we're going to be applying, is that once there's no more zika, there's no more attachment, there's no more requirement for yibum, so then you're back to stage one. She's an eishes ach. She is an erva. One cannot marry his brother's wife. And she's a brother's wife. There's just a halacha of Yibum, which then that pull says, okay, we're going to make an exception over here, and we're saying we want this relationship now, but that's only if there's a halacha of Yibum. If there's an exemption, which means to say there is no requirement for Yibum, it's not just now that there's no requirement. Once that requirement is removed, there's actually a prohibition. So why does it say the terminology of exemption, which sounds like, but if you want, you could, when in actuality, the halachic principle says that once you're exempt, you're actually forbidden. So the Gemara says, no, we couldn't have said Oisus, because Itana Oisus had we said forbidden, Havimina Asolayabim, we would have thought to say that, look, what's going to be forbidden over here? You now do Yibim. Now, Yibim is consummating a relationship that is actually cohabiting with the brother, with the brother's wife. Now, I would not have known anything more than the prohibition to do Yibim. I would not have known about Chalitza, because Chalitza, it seems like it wouldn't apply to say prohibition, because I would have thought, Avamachlitz Chalitza. Of course you do Chalitza against his will. In other words, you have to do it because you have a brother that his wife is here and he died without any children, you can't just let her go. This is the halacha of Yibum. There's underlying principles why we do Yibum. Now, he has no children from this wife. You got to go ahead and do something. So if you don't do Yibum, you got to do Chalitza. So we understand you can't do Yibum because she's an erva. She's prohibited. But fine, but do Chalitza. And I would have thought if you're going to use the terminology of Eisrais, which means to say that forbidden, which means that what's forbidden? What are you doing when you're doing chalitza? You're just doing an act of taking her shoe, as we'll explain later on in this mesechta, what is the process of chalitza, but you're not doing anything that's a prohibition. We would think it's only applying to Yipum. You can't cohabit with her. She's a brother's wife. And therefore, the Gemara says, Kamash Malon, that's why we couldn't use the terminology of Isis. We had to say Paitris, because once we say you're exempt, exempt means to say there's the halacha of Yibum doesn't apply. And therefore, that means not just Yibum, that means also Chalitza. But if you're going to use the terminology of Eisrois, that would seem to say that, oh, forbidden. What's forbidden? Something that's forbidden. What's a forbidden act? Is Yibum is cohabiting with her. But Chalitza, of course, you have to do. And that's where you have to say Paitris. But the Gemara continues to ask. But still, the listening Asurulach, it's fine. You had a problem if you would say Eisrois, you would think to say that. Even if we use the term Yibum Chalitza, that's only going on the Yibum. So the Gemara says, but just say explicitly. Say, these 15 women, they make Chalitza forbidden. And then you'll know that it's going Chalitza too. So why say Paitris when you could then fall into the trap of thinking that it's only that you don't have to, but if you want to, you could, and then you're going to be having a relationship with the Eishas Ach, with your brother's wife, as if Sheyesh Leibanim, as if she has children, which is the halacha that we give it always, is virtual halacha, as if she has children, which is the case in these Arayas. And you're going to be over on the Issacharis. But the Gemara says, no, you can't say Asur Lachlitz. Because my covet, exactly how can you say it's forbidden to do Chalitza? What exactly did you do wrong? I'm not allowed to go ahead and take off a shoe and spit and do all this process. You have to say the terminology of Torah. But the Gemara asks back, what do you mean? Of course it's a good question. Alam Aloy, why can't you say a terminology of Isser, of prohibition to do Chalitza? Of course you could, as the Gemara explains why it's a good question. Because imato imer chilat says, because if you're going to say that you could do chalitza, which is means to say something that you're allowed to, and that's what we're showing why you could say it's forbidden, then misya bemes, then you might come to do yibum. If we allow you to do with one of these 15 arayis or that tsaris or whatever it is to do chalitza, you're going to think, wait a second, I see they're going to bezdin, I see they're allowed to do this, the halachic process applies to these women. So chalitza and yibum, they always comes together. So they're going to think if you could do chalitza, you could do yibum. And therefore, it does make sense, the Gemara's question is saying, to say that it's asur lachlitz. You're forbidden to do chalitza. Because you might come then, at least a rabbinical concern, that you might come to then do yibum. And therefore, the Gemara's back to the question. Why say Paitris when they might fall into the trap of thinking that, but you're allowed to, which obviously, as we explained from Rashi, you're not allowed to. You should say the terminology of Isis. And if you think Isis will think yibum, so then at least say asur lachlitz. So the Gemara gives a different approach. The Gemara says, "Kivin de b'makom mitzvah huda siritzar." The truth is that it's only in a context of mitzvah, which we're talking about the mitzvah of yibum, which is when it's your brother's wife that he died without any children. Only then will the co-wife be prohibited, and that is as follows. Let's say what the first case of that rice, one's daughter tzara sabas. Now the halacha is that why is it that the tzar is forbidden? So we're going to learn a source for that on this daf. But the question is, what's the underlying principle? The logic of this halacha is that once the Torah tells you that there is no more zika, there's no more pull, there's no more chain attaching the yavam to the yavamas, to the women that are widowed, then you're as if you're eishes ach sheyesh leibanim. It's as if you have children, because the halacha of yibum is only when there's no children, but then that is the mitzvah of yibum is what allows it. It's not having children that allows it. It's the mitzvah of yibum that allows it, because the eishes ach is always forbidden. For example, by maternal wife, brother's wife, where even though there's no children, it's forbidden. It's the mitzvah of yibum. Now, but v'shalei b'makom mitzvah sharya. If, for example, if let's say someone, not your brother, some other person married your daughter, and therefore he became your son-in-law. Now, if he has another wife, that and then he dies, so that other wife, which is what's called Saras Bitoy, is permitted to the father-in-law, as the Gemara will later on bring from the next Mishnah, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. There are six other arayas that are more stringent than those mentioned in our Mishnah. What we mean by that, as we'll explain on that daf, is that they can't ever even come to a case of even because they can't marry your paternal brother, as one's mother is that paternal brother can't marry, even though it's not his own mother, because it's going to be his father's wife. And therefore, that is a category of shalei b'makom mitzvah. So in such a case, the tzaras bas is permitted. So therefore, the Gemara says, Mishnah Hachi Tani Paitras. That's why we had to use the terminology of that these 15 women exempt their tzaras, exempt their co-wives. And that is as follows. Had we said the terminology of they make them forbidden, I would have thought to say as follows. That it's not, as we have been explaining this halachic principle up until now, that one's daughter, let's say, as an erva, says that there's no mayibum, but rather that the daughter is such a stringency, it's such a prohibition to you. The Torah really doesn't want you to have a relationship, an intimate relationship with your daughter and your mother-in-law, all these other rayas, that when she has a co-wife, even if she's married to somebody else, your son-in-law, any random person, that she makes the co-wife forbidden. She has that power. And therefore, not only is it by makam mitzvah, meaning not only when you have a mitzvah to marry your brother's wife if he died without any children, and you can't do that when it's your daughter, and neither can you do her co-wife, it's even going to say that for sure when there's no mitzvah, of course you can't marry the co-wife, because it's your daughter, it's the erva herself that's making the co-wife forbidden. And therefore, that's not true, as we'd explain, because the terminology of Petrus tells us that the issa, the prohibition, is not coming because it's your daughter's co-wife, as if she has this negative energy, as she's saying that the co-wife is forbidden, but rather it's just that the daughter is forbidden for you to marry her. Now, therefore, she exempts that halacha of yibum. Now, as we're going to learn, that exemption applies to litzra, also to her co-wives too. Now, by default, once there's no mitzvah of yibum, so then there's also a prohibition, because that's the classical isra of iser eshes ach sheyesh labanim. She's left with, okay, so there's no heter of yibum, so then I'm just your classic eshes achiv, a brother's wife, then there's no heter, and therefore it's going to be forbidden. But if it's not b'mokke mitzvah, if one's daughter or one's mother-in-law or whoever the other arayis are married to just a regular guy and he has another wife, of course that co-wife is going to be permitted, because there's no isra of litzra, there's no isra of eshes achiv. It's not the co-wife, it's not the erva that's forbidding the co-wife, it's the exemption of the yibum in the case that you're then left with the isra of eshes ach, which makes it forbidden, and therefore we can't say isra, because had we said isra, we would have thought to say it's her making their prohibition, and if she makes it even when there's a mitzvah, of course she'll make it shlev and makam mitzvah, and that's not true, as we explained. It's not her making the prohibition, it's her making the exemption, which then leaves you with the isra of eshes ach. Fine, so the Gemara answered that question, why we couldn't say isra, rather we had to say paitras. But the Gemara continues to ask on the terminology of the Mishnah. Why did we say, as we opened up the Mishnah, that these 15 women will exempt themselves and their co-wives from chalitza, which is the process of divorcing this zika of Yavama, and from yibum, which is then consummating that relationship? Just say that there will be an exemption from yibum itself, as Rashi explains, because that's the primary mitzvah. Chalitza, by default, well, no, if there's no yibum, so of course there's no chalitza, why do we say also chalitza? So the Gemara answers, no, itanim in a yibum, if I would only say that these 15 women exempt their co-wives from yibum, then I would have thought to say, but mechlitz chalitza, but you should still do chalitza, and that's because you don't want to just totally remove this woman from the mitzvah of yibum, because ultimately, this brother did die without any children, you have to do something to remove that zika, and therefore, it's only yivum elo yavme, it's only that you're not going to do yibum, and that's because, as we're going to learn on Amud Beis, because of the gzeres hakasav of litzrar, and however chalitza you should still do, kamash malon, that's when the Mishnah is teaching that no. Once the fact that it's one's daughter, one of the other arayis that's married to his brother, she removes the zika, this pull of yibum, then not only does that exempt yibum, that also exempts chalitza. And we wanted to teach you that. And that's the chiddush the Mishnah's teaching, is that kala oila li yibum, because whoever comes to the category of the zika, of the pull for yibum, only such a woman will be oila chalitza, will have then the requirement of the zika, of the pull of chalitza. However, b'chol she'ena oila li yibum, however, any woman that does not come to the category of Yibim, then she also does not enter to the category of the mitzvah of Chalitza. And therefore, that's why we have to say that you're going to be exempt from Chalitza and Yibim, because we wanted to teach you that it's not just from Yibim that you're going to be exempt, but even from Chalitza. Now, Rashi does point out, however, although we will find in this Masechta many times that we say Chalitza v'lemis habemes, that she does get Chalitza, not Yibim. How do you have that? Aren't they interdependent? That's because either because they're a case of doubt, all because they're a case of rabbinic intervention, and therefore we say that we're going to do at least chalitza, but we won't allow the halacha of yibum. But biblically, they're really tied together in the sense of when you have yibum, you have chalitza. When there's no yibum, then there's no chalitza. But the Gemara continues to ask. Okay, fine. So you have to say exemption. You have to say both yibum and chalitza. But at least say yibum first, because as we just explained, that's the primary mitzvah, as the pasuk says. If he doesn't want to go ahead and marry her, as the pasuk in Devarim Chafei, which talks about the mitzvah of yibum, then he'll go ahead and do chalitza. But it sounds like, but if he wants to do yibum, then he should do yibum. So it seems like that the primary mitzvah is to do yibum. So say mina yibum na chalitza. Don't say mina chalitza mina yibum. Or inami, or either say mina chalitza luchuda. Then just say that you're going to be exempt from chalitza. Now, once you're going to be exempt from chalitza, if you're not doing chalitza, you're definitely not doing yibum, because the primary mitzvah is yibum, and we're saying that sometimes you'll even do chalitza when you're not doing yibum. So you're right. You have to mention chalitza, because we said that you would think that maybe you'd only be exempt from yibum, not chalitza. So, okay, then just say chalitza. Or even if you're saying yibum, at least say yibum first, because that's a primary mitzvah. Why do we say both and have chalitza first? So the Gemara answers both questions by saying Abba Shol he the Omer, because it's going like Abba Shol, who he says later on, the Aflam Tesem Abayis, that mitzvah chalitza kedemus le mitzvah yibum. Although biblically, the way it's written in the Torah, it would seem that the primary mitzvah do yibum first, our Mishnah is going like Abba Shol, who he says that in practice, the first thing you should do is chalitza, that's the primary before you do yibum. That's because he says that whoever consummates the relationship with his yavama, because she's beautiful or because he wants to have this type of relationship, so then it's as if he's marrying an Erev, someone that's forbidden to him, an Eshazach. And it's almost, he says, that it's, this child from this union is like a mamzer. And the reason is because one has to do it, L'shem Shemayim, to make a name for his brother. And if he's doing for ulterior motive, it's something that's not appropriate. And therefore, he says, we always would rather have chalitza first. And that's why it says in our Mishnah, mina chalitza u mina yibim, to tell you both. But we tell you chalitza first, because like Abba Shol, who says, we try to get chalitza first. Now the Gemara continues asking on our Mishnah. Now, our Mishnah says that when it opens up, it says these 15 women, they exempt their tsarais and tsarasin from chalitza and yibum. So the Gemara asks, minyana de resha, the numeric, the numbers in the resha, the first part of the Mishnah, which sounds like, okay, only these 15 women are in this category and no more. Lemute mai, what's the comment to exclude? What else would I have thought? Why are you saying numbers? Just say these women will exempt, and I know it's 15. Why do you say that these 15, Chamesh Esrei Nashim, as our parak is called, will exempt their co-wives? And moreover, Minyana de Seifa, then the numbering at the end of the Mishnah, where it says, Hare Elu Paitres, these women will exempt, which sounds like, oh, these women will exempt their co-wives. But there are others that won't be. Lemute Mai, what is that coming to exclude? So continue on Talmud Beis, where the Gemara tells us, it's coming to exclude these two cases. Lemute de Rav, comes to exclude the halacha of Rav. That is because Rav says later on Daf Yud Alf, that a tsaras saita, which means to say that if, let's say, his brother, the one that died without any children, one of his wives had acted immorally, and he has another wife, and then he dies without any children. So Rav says that the tsara of a saita, which is the suspected adulteress, then not only is she going to be exempt from the halacha of yibum, but also the tsara is going to be exempt. They're both going to be aser. So that's case number one that we're coming to exclude in our mission, saying, no, it's not true. The tsara of a saita is not going to be exempt from halacha of yibum. And the other exemption is with the Rav Asi, because Rav Asi says that the tsara, the co-wife of an islandess, now islandess is a woman that doesn't have the female characteristics, that she can't have any children. So as the Gemara will later on explain in Daf Yud Beis, he says that the tsara of an islandess is forbidden to be taken in yibum. And that is, if let's say his brother married an islandess and he has another wife and he dies without any children, so Rav Asi says that they're both going to be exempt. And on that is what our Gemara is saying, that our Mishnah is coming to exclude these two cases of tsaras saita and tsaras islandess, and telling you that even if one of the wives is an islandess or a saita, that the co-wife will not be exempt from the halacha of yibum. The Gemara says, fine. That's good according to everyone else besides Rav and Rav Asi. But Rav, Rav Asi, Lemute Mai, according to them, they obviously are Amiroim, and what are they going to do with our Mishnah? They're obviously saying it's not coming to exclude their halacha. So what, according to them, is it coming to exclude? So the Gemara says now, if they both agree to each other's halacha, and that is Rav and Rav Asi both say that Saras Saita and Saras Alnis will exempt their co-wives, so then we need to find two other halachas to be excluded. So then, So one will exclude the co-wife of a me'enes. Now that is, for example, if let's say his brother had as one of his wives a minor orphan, which that's only a rabbinic type of a marriage because her father didn't marry her off, but rather her brother or her mother, and he also has another wife, and then he dies. Now the ketana, this minor, now that her husband died and there's a halachas of yibum, everyone's coming to see that the brother is going to marry his brother that just passed away, his wives. So the daughter that's a minor says, she does what's called the halachic process of miyun. She refuses. What that does is that retroactively makes like she's never married, which since it's a rabbinic marriage, the rabbanon allowed that process of miyun. So now that her husband's not alive, but she does the miyun to the yavam. So on that is what we're saying, that the tzara will be forbidden, which would be, that's the halacha, as we'll see later on in the Gemara, where they have this discussion, is tzaras me'enes us or not? So if the Mishnah is coming to tell us that you're right, although the co-wives of this minor who refused the yavam makes that all the other co-wives actually cannot consummate the relationship of yibum with the yavam, however, she will not exempt the tzaras from chalitza. And that is because since this prohibition of marrying the ketanas that did the miyun of her tzaris is only rabbinic, as the Gemara will later explain in the perek, that's because it seems like eishes achiv, and that's because halachically we view this minor as if she's his brother's wife with children. And the reason why is because once she does yibum, once she does miyun, the refusal to the brother, it removes the zika of yibum. If it removes the zika of yibum, as we explained, this logic of how this principle works makes it okay. So there's no yibum, but you're still his brother's wife. And if your brother's wife, which even though it's not really, because she really removes even the actual marriage to the brother, but since it seems like she's an eishes achiv that has children, again, not really children, but halachically in that sense, so therefore it would seem like that now the co-wives are tzoreis of eishes achiv sheshlei banim, which are generally forbidden. So therefore we'll say, okay, that they can't be taken in yibum, but since that's only rabbinic concern, since biblically there is a requirement of yibum, therefore there would be an obligation of chalitza, and that's what our Mishnah is coming to tell you, that the tzoreis, the co-wives of the daughter, that's of the minor wife that does miyun, that's not the same as the case of tzoreis bitai, that's a ketana. You're talking about someone that's not related to him, that was a minor that was married to his brother, and that we're saying is that rabbinically, it's only an exemption, and therefore biblically you would still have to chalitza, and that's what Mishnah is saying, that they're not one of the 15 women, which would be this case of tzoreis me'enes, to say that they're totally excluded even from chalitza. That's one. The other exemption would exclude the co-wife of a man that then remarried his divorcee, and that is if, let's say, his brother had divorced one of his two wives, then that wife married someone else, then that husband died, and then he went and remarried his wife. Now, that's forbidden to do, to remarry a wife that had already married someone else. But then he had remarried her anyway, and he died without any children. So that halacha is that they're both forbidden, not only the machzer grusha, not only the grusha herself, that he remarried her, that she's forbidden even, but even the tzara. But on that, again, our Mishnah is coming to tell you, similar to what it's saying regarding the tzara's me'enes, although you're right, we make concerns, and we're not going to allow you to marry even not only the divorcee, but even the co-wives. However, biblically, there's still the halacha, and therefore it's going to require at least chalitza, and therefore they're excluded from the 15 women in our Mishnah, where not only do they exempt from yibum, they even exempt from chalitza, because there's no biblical commandment, even in that case at all, of yibum and chalitza. Now that's only if Rav Asi and Rav agree to each other's halachas. But if they don't agree to each other's halacha, that is, Rav says, look, I only say that tzaras saita is forbidding her tzaras, but not regarding your case, Rav Asi, of the halacha of tzaras ailness. So then, chadil muti dechavri, each one will have one of the exemptions to exclude the one of what his other chaver had been saying, which is either saita or ailness. And chadil muti, and then the other exemption will be aitzaras meme'enes, aitzaras machzegurishas, will be one of these two cases that we just spoke about, where although it will be on some level forbidding her tzara from yibum, but not all the way to say that there's not even going to be chalitza. And now we understand why the Mishnah opens up with a number of 15 to exclude one of these, and ends off with Petrus, that these exempt, to say that these exempt, but these other ones of me'enes, or machzeg rishasai, or of saita, or of ailness, that they won't totally exempt their tzaras from yibum chalitza. But the Gemara still asks, So fine, we have an understanding of all of them, but Rav or Rav Asi, listen in. According to Rav and Rav Asi, our Mishnah should have said the case of Tsaras Leita and Tsaras Islandess with those 15 women in their Mishnah, since according to them, they do exempt totally their Tsaras from Yibim Chalitza. Now the Gemara answers, you're right. It really is like those 15, and it should have been maybe even 17. But the Mishnah would not have then been able to say the context of how it says it, because Lefisha Eina B'Tsaras Tsara. Those two of Seita and Islandess would not have been able to go through that process that we mentioned that on Ad Seifa Olam to have a co-wife's co-wife. And that's because as follows. All the cases, the 15 women in our Mishnah, is applicable to say that then the co-wife of one of the Arayas, be it daughter or be it mother-in-law, then marries the second brother. When there's not just two brothers, the one that died and the one Yavim, but there's actually three brothers. And although to one of the brothers, they're Arayas, but the other brother, they're not. Because all these 15 women are likely to be only an erva to him, but to the other brother, they're totally permitted. And therefore, if he goes ahead and does Yibim, the other brother, to the co-wife, and he has another wife, and then he dies without any children and falls in front of the original guy who couldn't do Yibim because the first one was his erva. So then, even the unrelated to one is going to be exempted, and that's because she is what's the case of Tsaras Tsara of his daughter. It means to say the co-wife of his daughter then went and married the other brother, who that Tsara has her own Tsara. So that makes her Tsaras Tsara. But regarding the case of Saita and Alness, you can't say that she, the Tsara of the Saita, went and married the other brother, because that prohibition of Saita, of Tsara Saita, is on all the brothers. Because that issue is not coming, which is a relation to one of the brothers. It's coming because of the marriage of the first husband, and they're all similar in that sense, which is that problem of what's being stemming from that she's a Saita is a problem to all the brothers, and same thing, Alness is for all the brothers, and therefore it wouldn't be applicable to say that the Tsara goes and marries the other brother to make Tsara Tsara, and then marries the other brother to make Tsara Tsara Tsara, and that's why we didn't say it's, although, yes, halachically, it would seem that the case of Rav and Rav Asi, of Saita and Alness, really is the same as all those 15 women. It is on some level, but we couldn't say it in the Mishnah to say 16 or 17 in Arayis, because we wouldn't then be able to say the case of Tsara Tsara and Tsara 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 Seim at Seifa Olam. Now the Gemara goes back to the source of the halacha. The Gemara asks, Minuhan Amili, from where do we know, which is the basic foundation of the halacha of our Mishnah, that an erva, a woman that is a prohibited relationship, and her Tsara, which is her co-wife, and her Tsara's Tsara, and so on ad infinitum, is going to be exempting them from the halach of Yibim, which again, once you're exempted, then you have the old prohibition of Eishes Hakam. Where do we know that from? So the Gemara says, to turn up on, like we learned the Braisa, so there's a pasuk in the Yikra that talks about the erva of a Chais Ishtar, which means say that when one has a wife, so then his wife's sister, his sister-in-law, is forbidden to him as long as his wife is still alive. So the pasuk tells us as follows. It says, Isha al Achisa loisikach, a woman to her sister you shouldn't take, litzro, to make them rivals, means to say that they should be co-wives, legalis ravosala bachayahu, to reveal her nakedness on her when she's still alive, meaning when your wife is still alive, then you can't have an intimate relationship with your sister-in-law. Now, the Braisa wonders, aleha matam aleimena, what is this word aleha doing in that pasuk? And that is, it should have just said, legalis ervasa bechayeha, you now make her a rival to then have an intimate relationship with her when she's still alive. Where I would have understood from there that when your wife is still alive, your sister, her sister is forbidden, but after she dies, it's permitted. What does the word aleha come to add? So that is what the Braisa says as follows. Lefisha nema, because it says a pasuk in Devarim, which is the mitzvah of Yibim. The pasuk there says, Yavama yavo yaleha, that her yavam, which means to say her husband that just passed away, his brother, who he's the yavam, should come to her and consummate the relationship of Yibim. Now, Shemaya and the Afila, so the Bryce says, I would have thought that she would fall in front of him for the halacha of Yibim, even if it's Ba'achas Makalar Harayas Hamuris Batarakas Medaba, that the Torah would be telling you that the mitzvah of Yibim, just like it has no problem with the Issa of Eishes Achiv, which is a regular erva, but if he doesn't have any children, we want Yibim to be done, that even if she's any other erva, if let's say his brother had married his daughter, and she's his daughter, it doesn't make a difference, we want Yibim to be done. And therefore, we would have thought that that would apply, and you could do Yibim with any erva. Therefore, Nemar Kanaleha, that's why the Pasuk says over here, by the prohibition of when it's his wife's sister, which is an erva of a Chais Ishta, it says the word Aleha, as we pointed out, which we didn't understand why the word is there. V'nem Aleha Aleha, and it says over there by the midst of Yibim, also this word of Yavama Yavai Aleha, coming to teach you, Ma Aleha L'Bamaka Mitzvah, just like that Pasuk of Yavama Yavai Aleha, what is the context of that word of Aleha? It's telling you in the context of mitzvah, meaning of the mitzvah specifically of Yibum. Af Khan says, so teaching us also over here, even b'mokem mitzvah, even by when it talks about the prohibition of Isha l'chais l'sikach litzra l'galas arvasa aleha b'chayeha, when it's talking about the prohibition of the erva of achais ishtai, it's even telling you that prohibition of aleha is even b'mokem mitzvah v'amrachman l'sikach, and the Torah is telling you not to take her. Meaning aleha is saying, just like we see that the context of the word aleha means a mitzvah of yibum, yivama yivama aleha, so we're telling you that, yes, that aleha of b'mokem mitzvah is still what we're telling you, that the issa of achis isha will apply, leisikach, don't take her, even when it's aleha, even when it's b'makom mitzvah. If it's an erva, then you cannot do the mitzvah of yibum. Now, the Braisa continues, ve'en li elihi, but I would have only known that regarding if the erva herself. Now, his brother might have had many wives. Tzurasim inayin, how do we know that even the co-wives are forbidden to be taken? There's no issa of achis isha. Tamalem elitzru, that's the word elitzru, comes to teach us that the rival, the co-wife, is also forbidden. Now, mainly elu tzarasas, okay, I would have only known the co-wife. Tzaras tzarasim inayin, but where do I know the co-wife's co-wife? Wow, that's unrelated whatsoever. Tamolema litzra v'lei lotzer, that's what the pasuk says in this plural term of litzrar. It could have said lotzer, which is to create a rival in the singular. Litzrar sounds like a pluralism of co-wives. Now, that can't mean many co-wives, because that's still lotzer. Each one is still one lotzer. Must mean to say that when their co-wife marries the other brother and she has a co-wife, that is a continuation of this litzrar, and that's how I know that not only is the erva forbidden for Yibim, but her co-wife and her co-wife's co-wife, and so on. But the Braisa continues, and this is what we had mentioned before, but the einli ela chaisisha. I would have only known that an erva will be forbidden even when it's a mitzvah of Yibim, only regarding the case of when it's his wife's sister, because that's what we had learned, aleha. Sha'arayis minayin, but where do we know other arayis? And this is how we had opened up the Gemara regarding our Mishnah by saying that the source of this halacha of exempting these arayis from the mitzvah of Yibum is really the source of achais isha. How do you know the other arayis that they're going to be exempt? So the Gemara says, Amrit, ma achais ishim yuched, does he say the following svara, following logic? If we find what's distinct about his wife's sister, shehi erva, she's a prohibited relation, b'chayavin az deyna karas, and that you're liable if you do it deliberately for the punishment of karis, of being cut down in your prime of your life. As it says in the parasha of Arayis, in Vayikra Yitchas, after all Arayis, it says, v'nichrasa hanapashta salaisis, that those souls that do these prohibited relationships will be cut off. Moreover, v'ashek agasachatas, if you do it by mistake, so then you have to bring a karmah chatas, because we know the halacha is that whatever deliberately you get karis, the shagig, you have to bring a chatas, as the Gemara learns enough testament alf. And we find regarding this woman, Basur Liyavim, and that she has all this criteria, and she's forbidden to the Yavim. Therefore, the Gemara says the following svar. Of kol she erva, so the same thing would apply to any other woman that also shares the same characteristics, that she's a forbidden relationship. V'chayavin ozdein akaris, and you're liable if you do it deliberately karis. V'ashek gasa chatas, and that if you do it by mistake, you're going to have to bring a karma chatas. That is really up. It would make sense to learn out from achayis isha, the same, if you have the same characteristics, which is all these other 14 women in our Mishnah, that they're going to be forbidden for the yavim. Now, v'ein le'elehen, I would only known these other arayas that they're the same as achayis isha. So the same, but how would you know that the same thing applies to their co-wives too? So the Gemara says, Amr, again, the same logic. Ma achis ishim yichedes, if you find what's distinct about his wife's sister, she erva v'chayav nozdei nekares, v'ashek gas achatas, v'asura liyabim, and v'tzarasa asura, and you have the other piece which we're adding on, that not only is she forbidden for yabim, but that her co-wife is also forbidden, so you have the same thing. Akol she erva v'chayav nozdei nekares, v'ashek gas achatas, v'asura liyabim, and then you have the same svara, v'tzarasa asura, that also will her co-wife be forbidden. David, the Gemara concludes, this is where the sages have this from what we said in our Mishnah, the Chamesh Esrei Nashim, 15 women. Now, there are no other women that their forbidden relationship will have the punishment of Karis besides six other women, which will be mentioned in the next Mishnah. But the reason why they're not mentioned here is because they're never applicable to have a case of Yibum that the brother could have married that erva to say that now the Yavim can't go ahead and marry her, because if, let's say, it's the mother of the Yavim, his brother that just passed away cannot have been married to her, because that would have been his father's wife, and therefore there are six that are called more stringent in the sense that they can't even enter the realm of Yibum. So that, like, almost a bigger stringency. Here we're saying stringency that, okay, we don't allow the Yibum, but it's the case happens, because that falls in front of him there, it can't even happen in the first place. So there the Mishnah says, regarding these 15 women, that they have these karis and all this criteria, they're paiches terasein, bitsaras terasein, minachalitzo, minayibim, atseif oil. Now, the Brisa continues, as we had just spoken about, yachal shani marbav shesha rais chamuris me'elu. Now, we would have thought to say that you would include even these other six stringent arayas, which, as we explained, they could really only get married to other people. Which means to say, essentially, what the Gemara is saying, what the Brisa is saying, is that we would have thought to say, and we explained this logic in Amar Alav, that these women themselves have this, almost as you would call it, this negative energy that they make the co-wife forbidden. It's not this exemption process, as we had explained. So therefore, it would apply for sure to one's mother, that's really a prohibited relationship to one person, that the same thing would apply, she would say masurois, that their co-wives should also be forbidden for him to marry them. So let's say his mother had been married to someone else, and then there was a co-wife to that other person, that if, let's say, that woman, that person died without any children, that he wouldn't be able to go ahead and marry that woman, because his mother was it was his mother's co-wife, and therefore, if even b'maka mitzvah arise make that you can't marry the co-wife for sure shloim b'maka mitzvah, which is again the same principle of these six stringent ones, which don't allow even in the first place to even happen. So in that amrit you say as follows: then no, ma'achis ishtem yuchedes. Where is the principle of making co-wives forbidden learned from? So we said it's from the word litzrur. Now, where's the context of litzur? That's by achais ishtei, his wife's sister. Now, it's distinct over there. Shehi erva. Yes, she's an erva. V'chayav in alzdein the kara, as we had explained, em v'chagigas achatis. But moreover, there's this one piece. But v'efshali nasil achim. His brother can marry his sister-in-law. Two brothers could get married to two sisters. And that's what we're saying. In spite of that, v'asru liyavim, but still it's going to be forbidden to do yibim. And b'tzaras asur, and then is when we say the tzar is forbidden. That means to say that only afkol shehi erva b'chayav nazdein the kars b'shagos achatas ve'ev sheli nasi la'achem, and the woman could technically get married to his brother, then vasru liyabim, and then is forbidden to do yibim. How, and then also will apply tzaras asura, then the tzara will make it forbidden. Yatzur sheish arayis chamuris me'elu, that is excluding these other six stringent arayis. Again, which they're the archetype in the sense of that when the chalei b'makom mitzvah, they can never get married even to the brother. That hoyel di'yef sheli nas l'achem, since they can't get married to your brother, and therefore tzara se'emotar is actually, from there we see the same principle that they don't make it forbidden, that rather their tzara, when his mother's co-wife, will be permitted, because she'in tzara el ma'ach. And because the halacha of tzara is only when it's his brother's wife's, that then we apply the principle. And as Rashi explains again, this halachic principle. The only reason is because once the Torah exempts you from yibum, it removes the zika, it removes the bond of the yavam to the yavamis. Therefore, you just remain with the original isser of your brother's wife, and it's as if she has children, which then says a brother's wife is a punishment of karis, as it says in the Torah, ervas eshes achicha. A brother's wife is a regular classic erva. But generally, there's no isser eshes ach when your mother's married to someone else. And then, of course, the tzara will be permitted. And again, that's how we know this halacha, and also the svara that we've been saying, that it's not the negative energy of the erva that's prohibiting the tzara. It's only like in the case of Achais Ishtei, which she could marry the brother, and then she falls in front, then she removes the zika of Yibum, then you say, okay, so there's no het of Yibum, so then you remain with the Isser of Eshes Ach, which again is not the same case as when they're married to some foreigner, or when it's one of these Sheish Arayis Chamuris, that they always have to be married to some Nachri, someone unrelated to this Yavam. But now the Brisa concludes by saying, okay, Hazhar Shemana, so we have the sources for the prohibitions of all the cases in our Mishnah. We know the erva, because it's learned from Achais Isha, and we compare it to all the other arayis that share the same characteristics. We know the tzara from Litzrar. But einish minayin, how do we know that if the yibum, the yavam will do yibum to the erva, or to hatzara, that there's a punishment? And that is because we always have no punishment that's written in the Torah. It doesn't say in the Torah explicitly, when it talks about karas, regarding this erva of the Achais Ishtoi, of these that remove the mitzvah of yibum. So Amakra, that the Gemara answers, the pasuk says in Vayikra, it says ki kol asher yasa mikol ha'evos v'goyimer, whoever does one of these abominations, as the pasuk there concludes ha'elav, these abominations, which is summarizing from all the rites we just spoke about, it says that then these souls will be cut off from these who do this amongst the midst of the people, which comes to include all those that are prohibited, and therefore we have a source of a punishment, which of course, for all those that are forbidden, which includes this case of Achaisisha and all these 5th Narayas that then are back to the classic Isser of Eishes Achim, and that we see that not only is there a warning that you can't do Yibim and hence there's a prohibition, but there's even going to be a punishment. Now the Gemara asks on the Brice as follows. So we have our sources, but the Gemara is bothered by something. Time and the Kasar Rahman Allah. Now, you told me the source for the Mishnah that the Erva and the Tzara will be exempt when it's B'makom Mitzvah, meaning in other words, when it's a Eishes Achim and they're going to be removing the Heter of Yibam, then you're back to the Isra of his brother's wife, and then they're forbidden. How do we know that? Because it says Aleha by the Mitzvah of Yibam, it says Aleha by Chais Isha, just like there is even in the context of Yibam. Here it's even talking about the context of Yibam that Loisikach, you can't marry her in spite of that, and then we compare that to all the other rites. But the Gemara says, but Halav Hachi, it sounds like from the Braisa, had we not had the Pasuk of Aleha, Havamina Achais Isha Meyabnois, we would have thought to say that as the Braisa itself had opened up with the same type of words, that then you could do Yibam. We would have thought to say, had we not had this drasha of Aleha, that if a brother dies without any children, even if his daughter is married to his brother, you can go ahead and do Yibam. So the Gemara more on this, my timer. How could we have entertained that in the first place? Marrying one's daughter is Karis. No matter whatever the Erva is, there's a punishment of Karis. So why would we have thought, had we not had Aleha, that you could do Yibam? So the Gemara answers as follows. Daminan Asi Asid, because we would have said that let the positive commandment of the mitzvah of Yibam and come and push away the negative prohibition of the Arayas, which, as the Gemara will explain, which will bring us into this whole new sugya of what's called Aseid B'Chalaisase, that a positive commandment is stronger in the halachic sense than a negative prohibition. And therefore, although there's a negative prohibition of his wife's sister or his daughter, so that's a loisa saying, not to marry her, but there's a positive commandment at the same time says, well, we want you to do Yibam, your brother died without any children. So I say, the positive commandment is deiche, pushes away the loisa say. But the Gemara asks, Eim adam rinan ase ase b'docha loisa say, when do we say this? Whatever the svara is, that a positive commandment is shows more ahava, like the Ramban says, it shows more of a relationship to Hashem than just not doing something bad, so it'll push away the negative prohibition. But that's leisa se greater. That's just an ordinary prohibition that just has malchus, that's a lav. Leisa se shish bekars mi dachi, would you really entertain that to say that a positive commandment, which in this case the mitzvah of Yibam, would even push away and overpower a negative prohibition that's so bad in the sense of that you do it, you get karis, which is a really severe negative prohibition. Would we say it even in such a case? And vesub, and then moreover, in general, the Gemara is opening up this whole conversation by saying, leisa se greater than menon de dachi. How do we know that which, well, we're assuming that I say a positive commandment of Yibum will be deich, will push away a leisa, say a negative prohibition of one of the arayas. And even if it wasn't karis, how do we know this? Which then the following dafim will continue on this conversation regarding this sugya of asei deich leisa. How do we know? Which obviously our braisa is assuming that had we not had an exclusionary criteria of aleha that says that you don't do Yibum to an erva, we would have thought to say that you would do it. Which that presupposes that the asay, the mitzvah asay, the positive commandment of doing Yibum, would be deich alayis asay, the negative prohibition of having a relationship with one arayis. And that opens up with the Gemara's discussion in the following daf, how would we know asay deich alayis asay, that we need a leha to come to exclude from that in the context, at least, of the halacha of Yibum.